Welcome into Let's Talk Cards. I'm Zach Blackerby. He's Jamie Crossan. And man, I got back from vacation last week and I'm like, oh my goodness, it's almost July, which means it's almost time for the National, which is going to be super exciting. You and I will be there Thursday through Sunday. Can't wait to get up there and see everybody.
Yeah, I'm excited too, man. It's kind of amazing how many people are going to this thing. I mean, people that I stream with, people that I buy from on whatnot, major people that have a platform. I think it's a situation, and you'll know this better, where anyone that's anyone in the hobby in terms of having some kind of platform are going to be there. Golden, you got major athletes, you got people that I think Giannis was there last year, right?
He was. I didn't see him, but Tom Brady was there. He kind of made a surprise appearance, which was super cool. So, yeah, you know, as far as I'm curious to see how they manage crowds this year. Last year it was like the biggest space in the world, and it still wasn't large enough, and there were lines everywhere. I'm curious if they even try to address that, if they just say, you know what, it's impossible for that not to happen. Curious to see how, if that's different at all, especially like entrance to trade nights and all that. That seemed a bit chaotic. But as far as like goals, Jamie, you know, I think it's important to go in with goals, whether it's buying goals, selling goals, if you're looking for certain things from a collector standpoint. So I want to ask you, like, what are some goals that you have for the National in just a few weeks?
Yeah, it's a great question. I have a few things in mind. One, I've been told by you and others that have gone to the National that you're going to see any card that you would not see normally out in the wild, that this is the place where you will find the rarest of rarest cards that you'll never see again. So with that in mind, I'm looking for a couple of things buying wise. One, I'm looking for a Cam Newton downtown in his Panthers uniform, preferably graded 9 or 10. I could probably do either. I'm looking for rare LeBron autos or rare LeBron cards. I have a collection that I'm building, which I was surprised. If you're familiar with the LeBron Kobe tribute, it's the one where from 2020 where he is mid game and he does the same dunk that Kobe did a few years before.
That was horizontal, right?
Say again.
It's horizontal.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Which is your favorite. I know. I've accumulated like 5 or 6 of those, and they're just really cool cards. And I've looked, and the rainbow is like, there's like 60 of them or something crazy like that, 40 or 60.
Did you see the video that dropped like 2 weeks ago where Jeff Wilson bought like a partial rainbow from someone? I think he spent like $32K or something like that. It was insane, the amount of money. I mean, I think it's worth it. I think it's worth what he paid. But yeah. That's a hot card for sure.
Yeah, I have about 5 or 6 of them. And I thought when I was collecting them, I thought, man, it'd be really neat to get the rainbow. And then as I looked at the checklist, I'm like, oh, man, so many. There's so many of them. So many variations of that card. And
some of them are really, and they don't come up for sale too often. And they're just, I think a lot of people want to collect that. So
I'm also looking for a Rock auto. We talked a few weeks ago about Big Regrets, and that was one of mine. So it'd be nice to locate a Rock auto. But let me pose the question back to you, Zach. I think those are my buying goals. Selling quickly, I think, I've started toying with the idea of what would happen if I brought a ton of inventory within reason. To your point earlier, there's going to be cramped spaces. And so you've instructed me not to bring my rolling case.
I took my rolling case last year and I was hated by everyone, including myself. I will not do that again.
So I'm heeding that advice. I'm not going to bring my roller, but I've thought about just crazy out of the box goals. What if I could bring a ton of inventory within reason in my case? I actually bought a new Zion case, you know, 120.
Yeah.
So it holds 120. what if I pack this full of nothing but bangers and try to achieve like 50 grand? Just
shooting. You've got a lot of like, so last year's market, I was talking about this with somebody the other day. Last year's market, everything was leading up to the national and it was around case hits. Last year, this time, case hits, like you couldn't get enough Kabooms or Downtowns or Color Blasts, whatever it might be. This year, I think it's going to be more goats. And like you saw a ton of Jordans and Bradys last year. You know, the Jordan thing, I think, is amplified because of it being in Chicago as well. But you saw a bunch of that. I think you're going to see every Michael Jordan, Tom Brady, LeBron James, Steph Curry, Pat Mahomes, Shohei Ohtani. Like, you're going to see goats all over the place. Not that that wasn't there, but the theme of trade night seemed to be very heavy towards case hits. And I think it's going to be more slanted towards goats this year, which, I mean, you're somebody that has a lot of LeBrons. Like, I think those would move at a trade night very easily for pretty close to comp.
Yeah, I'm interested to talk for you to talk about and tell our listeners about trade night, especially for what's the difference between a trade night and the regular show, so to speak.
Well, it's the non-vendors that are there. It's the you and me's, the folks that are traveling from all over the country to be there, just to be around people who love this hobby as much as they do. You know, I think the vendors, and not everyone is like this, but you know, with what they're having to pay for a table and also just like the desire to keep inventory for the entire time, like it's tough to buy stuff from most. There's exceptions, but a lot of the stuff stickered way too high and pretty firm, and they still move a lot of that stuff. So unless you're looking for like a big card, like I know there was a cool moment with Elijah last year where he bought this LeBron James Downtown. It's like, that's a card, especially back then, like even now, like you're okay paying really strong on that. We did the same thing with some Brady Downtowns, which we ended up making a lot of money on. So, you know, unless it's a card that like that, that you're really comfortable like spending a ton on, I think a lot of that is just kind of peruse, see if there's the right thing you want to take a stab at. But a lot of the deals are done at trade night just because it's, you know, I think it's probably a little bit easier to get some stuff done.
So on with that in mind, on trade night, are the guys like you and me stickering their prices, so to speak, higher? Are they a little more firm than they normally would be at a normal show?
It's going to vary. And it also probably depends on what they have. You know, if they've got a lot of, you know, really good Jordan and Brady cards, they're probably going to be firm or slightly above market. But that's what it's worth. Like, it's worth a little bit more than last sold. Like, we're seeing that in today's market. Yeah. There'll be other folks that are impossible to deal with. And there'll be other folks that got into this stuff so cheap that they're just ready to get liquid again and maybe buy even larger Jordan cards with, you know, the 10 that they've already had that they've doubled since they bought them last year. So like anything, it's going to vary. There's going to be some difference there.
So if I'm hearing you correctly, Zach, for me, unless I'm finding a grail card, probably should hold out and try and do my deals at the trade night.
Especially like selling or trading. Yeah. Yeah. You know, a few of my like larger goals, like I would love, I'm looking for more Cam Newton and a Pats uni stuff. So like, I'd love, similar to you, like a Cam Newton Downtown, but you know, he's got that 1 year, I guess the 2020 year where he's in a Pats uni. Like, I'd love that. Yeah, you know, I want a LeBron James Miami Heat patch. Like that's something. And like that stuff that, you know, that card specifically, like I'm okay paying higher on that. If it's a clean patch, that's going to, I think that stuff's going to go up. So like, I don't mind paying strong for that from a PC. But, you know, like I'm bringing a lot of my Bradys just in case, not because I'm like desiring to move them, but because they've gone up, and some have like no sales, some like lower numbered stuff just has no sales, and like just curious to see what I could get for it if you find the right person. And you know, if you sell a few of those, it's like, okay, all right, with the cash I'm bringing, like, do I want to then put myself in a situation to get you know, a lower or mid Brady auto. You want to give yourself that flexibility.
Those are all really interesting tips. So I have a few questions that I want to run by you.
Yes.
And I think it'd be beneficial for anyone listening, that's especially for those who haven't gone to the National. You went last year, was your first time, and learned a ton.
I did.
One question, how much cash should you bring? Understanding the scope of people that'll be listening. Some will be casual, some will just kind of pop in to day show. Some will be serious. What do you think? What's your advice? Yeah, there?
Jamie, I think it, you know, I think that's the beautiful thing about the hobby is no matter where you're at financially, there is stuff for you. I watch so many vlogs like the weeks following just of people putting stuff on YouTube of folks like scouring dollar boxes and value bins and some of the tremendous deals that they found. So like if you only have $100 or so or whatever, like I think most people are gonna have more than that because it costs more than that just to get in. But if that's your budget or whatever, if you want to stick to low end, I think there's plenty of opportunities to find great stuff there with, you know, I doubt you could go through every single one of them.
I'm sure.
I had like 4,000 last year plus cards. And I brought more Pokemon last year. I'll only bring like 3 or 4 Pokemon cards this year. The rest will be sports. As far as inventory, I'm taking my Skyridge Celebi. So excluding that, between Pokemon and sports, I'll probably bring around $5,000-$7,000 worth of inventory.
Yeah.
And then I think I've probably got around like 20K cash right now.
Yeah. Yeah. With that, and you had explained earlier that you're considering maybe you get some good offers for more of your liquid Brady's. Maybe you utilize those, get liquid, and aim for a card that would be out of your reach normally. Is that kind of
something that would feel a little uncomfortable at doing for sure? Because it's probably going to be a PC thing. It's probably not something that I'm going to sell. So like, I don't want to use all of my, you know, cash that's kind of been used to flip stuff or whatever. I've also been buying a lot of PC stuff lately. So I'm trying to get rid of some other stuff that I don't really want long term.
Yeah. You're you and I both.
You ever accidentally bought something on eBay?
Yes. Yes, I have. Have you?
You've described me as a gatherer of Ramondre Stevenson one of ones, not a collector, but a gatherer.
Gatherer, that's right.
There's been this one, it's a one of one National Treasures. It's not the true one of one, but it's the logo one. I have the laundry tag one, and I usually have it out, but I went out of town, so I put all my stuff in a safe. But there's the logo one, and it's been like the guys had it on eBay for like over a year. And the asking price has been $1,000. And I've sent him offers of like $800 before, and he said no. And I sent him an offer of $600 last week just because.
Yeah.
And he like accepted it instantly. And I'm like, oh.
Oh, nice.
I like wasn't emotionally ready to like, you know, spend after tax and shipping. I wasn't really like emotionally ready to spend like $650 on a card that night. But I'm like, okay.
There you are.
I'll take it for that. Yeah.
Do you have it yet?
No, it went through authentication, so it takes forever. But
yeah, I actually had a very similar experience. So I jumped on Alt for the first time after speaking with you. You mentioned Alt and talked about some of your buys. My first Alt experience, Zach, I liked the cards, went after several LeBron cards. There was one in particular. Unfortunately, I just got into a pissing contest with this guy. And it was back and forth with, I don't know who it was, but the thing I didn't like about the Alt is they have a resetting timer for extended bidding.
Right.
It just goes for hours. It goes for hours. And to my understanding, what happens is with the 8,000 or so cards that are up for extended bidding, if you go and bid on one card, it resets everything.
Everything. Yeah. And
it lasted until, I think that the auction ended around, I don't know, man, like 9 o'clock, 8 or 9 o'clock. And it went to like past midnight. Like, so there were.
Dang. Yeah. Yeah. I've bought from Alt twice, or two different bidding blocks. I've bought twice, and because there was one main card I wanted in each of those. And yeah, it wasn't past midnight, but it was late. It was probably like 10:30, 11 o'clock or so. I like, I bought through Fanatics for the first time a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
And that's where I got the, this card was on Fanatics.
Yeah.
And, great cool. It does extended bidding, but my understanding, I've only done Fanatics once, but my understanding of it is the extended bidding is only for the specific card.
Yeah.
So extended bidding started and I put my high bid in.
Yeah.
And then it was just 30 minutes and no one bid on that card again. And so then it just ended.
Which is great.
I feel like it's the way it should be.
For sure.
But Alt's infrastructure, like the user interface, is significantly better than Fanatics.
Yeah.
Significantly.
I haven't been on Fanatics. I didn't mind the interface. I like the user friendliness of it.
Yeah.
I hated the complete resetting of all the cards. Hated that.
Yeah.
The card that I overpaid for, you're talking about accidentally buying, there I was going in that, I was in that back and forth with unknown bidder number two.
What you paid, it was a PSA 10 LeBron, right?
It was a nice PSA 10 LeBron. I wound up paying. So what was interesting, you're talking about heat patches. I had a game used LeBron graded heat patch that I won.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited about that. And I got it for like $100 under comps, under last recent comps, which I would have paid more than that.
Yeah.
I think it had been going for around 350 or so. I got it, even with the buyer's premium that they bake into it, I got it for like 250. So it was
like, that seems like a deal. Yeah.
Oh, it was a great deal. Where they get me back is this contest I was in with this PSA 10 LeBron that was, it's just a cool looking card. I showed you a picture of the card.
I don't think you overpaid for it.
Well, all the recent, call it recent comps, the last.
But it doesn't sell that much, does it? It
doesn't sell too much.
Yeah, you're fine.
Yeah, you're fine. The last ones, though, were like $87, and I paid like $200 plus. Like
yeah, but all the people that have those now are going to be like, okay, there's a new comp. Let's sell it. You're going to be fine.
Does Alt populate to Card Ladder?
Yeah.
It does? Okay.
And the comp on Card Ladder includes the buyer's premium. So it's what you actually paid.
Hey, man, I just created a comp. You're welcome.
You created a comp. All the people with that card are like, yes, somebody finally paid what this card's worth. cool. Make sure you subscribe, whether you're tuning in on audio or on YouTube. Subscribe. We really appreciate it. And we'll see you next time. This has been Let's Talk Cards.